Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us tonight for what should be another very interesting and informing show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air tonight, out of rotation, to talk about some very serious matters here in our city. Tonight on the phone line with me, I have Donnell Ballard and Adrian Smith. We all consider ourselves activists. I'm an activist, talk show host, and writer, contributor for Newsbreak. Donnell, of course, is someone who has his own talk show, is an activist, is a protester. And Adrian is someone who's a former mayoral candidate, former city council candidate, as well as someone I would consider an activist here in Fort Worth. That said, those of us who are courageous enough, and I'm going to use that as the word that I find most fitting, courageous enough to speak out, speak truth to power to our local or our current administration, we find ourselves under attack. We find that CPS suddenly gets called on us. We find that things start moving differently. We're followed. We're spied upon. They use all types of ways to disrupt your life. The police are weaponized against you. And I think we're smart enough to know we have to go public. We have to go public because it's in our best interest to let the city know that our current administration should not be moving this way. This is not Nazi Germany. This is not the way it's supposed to happen. And Mayor Parker is moving more like Hitler and the KKK. I mean, and I hate to use those inflammatory terms because they seem extreme if you are not someone who is having it happen to you. But y'all have experienced this since 2011. And Mayor Parker has been in leadership or around leadership for the last 7 years. So mine is very well documented. Donnell and Adrian are a little different. They're just beginning to experience it, but the signs are still the same. The playbook is still the same. And so we're calling the mayor out tonight. We're calling out David Cook tonight. We're calling out our city council tonight and saying enough is enough. You will not weaponize the police department against taxpaying citizens of this city. You have no right to do that. And so tonight I'm going to open the phone line of Adrian Smith and Donnell. Good evening, y'all. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. How about you?
Good.
I'm good. I'm good. Would y'all agree with what I just said?
Oh, 100%.
Adrian?
Yeah, how you put things in perspective, yes, I have no issues with how you put things in perspective, you know, and then you said it so plainly where people can just take in what she's saying, don't make it personal, and just comprehend mm-hmm. it. What this is really going on, and this is not only our livelihood, become part of our livelihood, but it could be yours as well if you are an individual who sits back and just let things continue on, you know, just let things just happen, put it like that.
Yeah.
I agree. I think what we got to realize is the police department are city employees.
Mm-hmm.
The city employees are given directives from people above them. So that means the mayor, the city manager, the police chief govern how the police department moves. And so whenever the police department is weaponized against activists, that call came from somewhere higher up. And if it didn't, how dare you allow someone who's an hourly employee to weaponize themselves against regular citizens? So that's even worse. And so tonight we're calling out the mayor, we're calling out David Cook, and we're saying we will not allow this to happen without filing a lawsuit against the city. For those of you all that don't know, Memphis Police Department was sued a couple of years back, maybe five. They were sued because the Memphis Police Department was harassing them on Facebook. Y'all, I get that all the time. I get them hacking my emails, hacking my show's website. I get them hacking it on Facebook all the time. If I post something on Marketplace, I instantly get 20 or 30 responses from fake accounts. Well, how would that happen if I'm doing it in the middle of the night? How would hackers just happen to pick on Carrie Hines in the middle of the night or 12 o'clock in the afternoon or 1 o'clock on a Sunday? You have to be on my page stalking me. So how in the world would 20 people suddenly decide to contact me? And then they're asking for my phone number. So, y'all, they're getting in my inbox. That's illegal activity. And Memphis Police has been sued for that very thing. But this police department, Chief Neil Noakes, in my opinion, has not stepped up to the plate and basically managed his police department the way he should have. Shame on you, Noakes. You claim you got a plan. We want to see it.
Yes.
We want to see what plan you all have for getting this police department under control. It's not just a crime in the city. It's the crime coming out of your police department as well.
Mm-hmm.
Am I
right.
wrong?
You're right. No, you're right.
No.
You make a good point.
I'm just like, I'm so lost by, you know, these people are making the big bucks. So that means when you make the big bucks, the big calls are on you. The big calls are on you to fix the situation in the city, or it's time to do something else. But Maddie Parker won't listen to anybody. You know, she takes everything. She has the thinnest skin of anybody I've ever met. How dare you be in leadership and be doing things that are not right for the city and get mad if anybody calls you out on it? That's not even right. That's not
and
right.
Carrie, you know, I was just thinking, Carrie, with those positions, you know, that they, like I say, myself and others who, they occupy those spaces right now. But for all of those individuals who have past or present who sought to serve in those positions, y'all got to realize that people got to realize that those positions come with a great responsibility. Okay, also, those positions are not void of criticism. You know, because we're talking about you know, those positions encompass the mayor and the council. Those positions encompass making decisions as it relates to people's livelihoods. You know, hold on 1 second, Karen. 1 second. As it relates to individuals' livelihood. So why when there's people just seeking for accountability for the decisions that you are making, why is it such a problem or a threat, or why are people made out to be something that they're not, you know? When only thing they are doing is doing what any person with a normal sense of understanding to think it would do, you know, because again, it's everybody's livelihood that are affected by this. And as it relates to the police department, that is very dangerous. I mean, like you said, you shared your experiences, but it's like, why in society is the police, the law enforcement, the only ones above somebody criticizing them when they criticism whenever they do something, you know? It's always made out to be you gotta be pro police on everything, and if you're not, then you know, they it's like the media and society goes above and beyond. It slows down everything when something happens to law enforcement, or it's law enforcement. Like my attitude as it relates to law enforcement is this: the dangers that come with their job, you know it before you start trying to seek to become it. So the dangers and responsibilities that come with it, you know that. So when one dies, and people can say, you can say whatever you want to say about what I'm saying. It's insensitive, whatever you can call it. But I don't go all out when one dies. I treat it just like any other occupation in society. Okay, somebody died, you know? I mean, When I was enlisting myself in the military, I knew what the possibilities that came with that, and one of the possibilities was death. But it's like, law enforcement can't do no wrong in society, and when they do something wrong, it's like there's no accountability. You know, it's like they put in fail safes to keep them from being held responsible for the decisions that they make.
Well, you know what? Can I piggyback off of that? It's almost as though they got a blank check. And so every day they go out, and whatever they write on that check, we're supposed to accept it. So if they kill somebody, you know, they didn't mean to do it. So, okay, just move on. If they beat somebody, oh, well, you know, the person should have done this, or if they had, you know, turned around the right way, or if they just hadn't talked back, it's always giving them a pass. As though whatever they do is okay. No, it's not. They're city employees who should be held to a high standard. I mean, to me, the code of conduct should be above reproach. We don't want people on the city streets with guns and badges who don't know how to treat the citizens. Make it sense. And the city, these people, y'all listen. I hate to say this, but when they started harassing me in 2011, there was nobody to talk to, because nobody I knew had my experience, and a lot of people were like, they were in total disbelief that the police would harass people like that, because I guess in 2011, you know, it just wasn't enough talk about it. But now people are coming forward. They're coming out of the shadows and saying, yeah, I was harassed too. And, y'all, they use all types of people against you. Yeah. They use court against you. They use CPS against you.
Mm-hmm.
They, listen, they'll use the garbage man and the mailman against you. This is just how, let me explain to y'all how it goes, y'all, for those who don't know. There's something called COINTELPRO. COINTELPRO, they want you to believe that died in the 70s, but it didn't. COINTELPRO is very alive today. And let me explain some of the things that you'll see with COINTELPRO operations. Basically, it's a series of covert and illegal projects actively conducted by law enforcement agencies. These operations are aimed at surveilling, infiltrating, discrediting, disrupting, and neutralizing. Okay? Basically, they're considered subversive to the U.S. political stability. So they look at these, anybody that's a person who speaks out, like myself, Adrian, Donnell, we're considered to be somebody of a threat. Just for speaking out. So basically, that's what they consider, that anybody, an activist or an organization who basically speaks out or protests, that basically they're considered subversive to the U.S. political stability. They try to criminalize and derail social movements such as the civil rights movement and the Puerto Rican independence. Y'all, it's serious. They literally set out to disrupt your freaking life. I mean, they try to strangle you financially. They don't care who they have to run over or mow over. They are at you like gorillas. I mean, they really do. And it's just that serious. And so I've seen, and Donnell has seen, we both were contributing to Newsbreak. All of a sudden, our articles are having problems and struggling because we're speaking out on city issues. Donnell, what happened to your account?
My account, they just automatically deleted my account. Further started with nobody then was not watching my video. Then all of a sudden, my video was gone. And so in the beginning, they was promoting me. I was getting all kinds of stuff. And you seen the numbers. I showed the numbers to you. It was almost 43,000 to 55,000 people that was looking at it. Then all of a sudden, I started talking about the city of Fort Worth. What happened? Everything, all those interviews I did was automatically deleted by Newsbreak.
See, y'all.
First, they started out saying my account was suspended, but they didn't even give me a reason why my account was suspended. I even emailed them back. What was the reason so I can correct the problem? You think they gave me a reason? They didn't give me a reason. They didn't even contact me back after that. So I had to end up getting another account. But what I end up doing, I end up waiting. And so I got another account yesterday, and it didn't even start getting the numbers until today. I'm at 3,000, 4,000 people now? The question is how long? But the problem is I wasn't talking about the city. So now that I'm not talking about the city, they allow me to come back. But the minute I start saying stuff about the city of Fort Worth, they're going to delete my account, which I believe the mayor of Fort Worth and the police department have something to do with that.
Make it make sense, y'all. So we know that our telegram doesn't talk about the city, really. We know the fourth report doesn't really talk about the city. WFAA plays games with stories that they do, basically trying to put the city in a good light. Y'all, so they have a stronghold, basically, on all, basically, the media, Fox, everybody who basically writes or reports on Fort Worth. So anybody who goes against the grain, they try to strangle you. So tell me how unfair it is for the mayor to try to shut down your income. I mean, think about that. This is a grown-ass woman. She got responsibilities in a family. I got responsibilities over here, too. So she thinks it's fair for her and the police department to try to strangle somebody's finances? That's not right. Now, people went over there and told Cooks all the things that Maddie Park has done and the fact that she probably shouldn't be working there. Would that be fair? That's what we're dealing. Y'all, it ain't supposed to be like that. This is some Hitler kind of stuff. Hitler used to strangle the media. And basically, you know, either you did it his way or you were not part of the media. That's what we're dealing with today. Maddie Parker is literally running this ship like she controls her kids or something. We're not her kids. We're grown people. And I don't even know. And y'all, listen, I'm gonna be honest with you. If you're a taxpayer, get ready because I'm coming for your dollars. I'm gonna sue the city, Maddie Parker, and David Cook, and Chief Noakes over the way this is going down. No,
right.
You cannot treat people as though you can. I mean, literally, they try to suck the life out of you just for speaking out against the city. Who does? I mean, that's demonic.
And what they're doing, whatever they want. If you notice, when we were doing the protest, one of the Fort Worth police officers made a statement to me and saying that this is private property. I told him, I said, sir, this is not private property. This is the city. The taxpayer paid for that. I am not dumb and stupid. You can tell anybody else that, but you can't tell me that. Me and Karen made a call today, and we found out that we were telling the truth. It was public property. So they'll tell you, the city marshal, Fort Worth PD, will tell you anything just to keep you from protesting. They were coming towards me as I was protesting a couple of days ago at the city hall and looking at me crazy, telling me I'm not allowed to go in the breezeway. Now, I remind you, I've been protesting in the breezeway of the city hall going on, 30-some years? When we did the George Floyd protest, we was able to go around. Now, all of a sudden, they're telling us, oh, it's been a rule. All this stuff that they lying and saying it's been a rule, we know damn well it ain't a rule. Doing is the city of Fort Worth is going to tell you whatever they want because Manny Parker has put that in their ear. Make them leave the property. Let them go on the sidewalk because they don't want us to be protesting inside that breezeway. Mm-hmm. So now what they're doing, they're going to continue to push that. But what they don't realize, I'm going to continue to go up there inside and speak my mind. Stuff that they don't want to see me do, I'm going to continue to do it because I am not going to sit back and allow them to continue to think they can just push people around. Because if we allow them to continue to do this, they'll continue to do everybody else. And yes, you are right, Karen. They are control freaks. That's what they are. They gotta control everything from the outside to the inside. Do your damn job. That's all I got to say.
And Carrie, I just say real quick, I know we put the onus is on the mayor and, you know, the head of the monster, the mayor and, the chief, he's the head of the police department. But I want people to also know that we don't absolve the council from their complicity because their silence and their willingness to go along with bad behavior, you know what I'm saying, as if God didn't put breath in you, as if y'all all sucking the same, breathing from the same source of oxygen, as if the Most High didn't put breath in you. They're silence and they're disregard for the people that made it possible for them to be in the seats they are. Yeah, they are not absorbed from any of what we're talking about. And like you said, Kerry, regarding the police matters, I would just share with people that It made me know that, I'm going to just say this, before you even mention this show or coming up with the show, I think I had a thought within myself. I just affirmed to myself last night, when I'm out and about, I got to start paying more attention because I usually just be going about my, my day or whatever because I'm one of the individuals, I'm not bothered by anything, you know what I'm saying? I pay attention to what's going on, focus, I try to stay stay focused, but lately I've been kind of just going about just like nonchalantly. So I say I got to start paying more attention to my surroundings and what's going on around me and who around me, because at the end of the day, you don't know what kind of, we call it jacket. We don't know what kind of jacket they're putting on us as it relates to the Ford PD or down at City Hall to make us look or appear a threat to anything that's considered, civility. Think about this. Go back to my trespassing issue, right? This reminded me when I was in this. My trespass issue reminded me of when I was in the military. When I was in the military, I had an issue overseas. And the first thing they did was took my weapon away. Right. This is why we was overseas. Now, I looked at that as one thing. When they took my weapon away, they tried to make it appear, make me appear like I was crazy or incompetent. That's what the first thing it did. That's the first thing that came to my mind. They trying to make me appear like I'm crazy, like take his weapon because he might, XYZ. That's how I looked at it, So same thing with this trespass. My trespass issues has stipulations in it. I had to call I had to call ahead, and I had to get an escort, and I got to make, you know what I'm saying? I got to do, I have to go through all these various procedures just to do city business if I want to do city business. And that makes, when you put certain language out there, it makes you look like like I'm a threat. And I take it to, what was that day? Let me see real quick. That was September 2nd, the TCU game, you know, the TCU home opener. You know, myself and Bob Willoughby were out in protest as relates to, you know, us being trespassed from City Hall. So we used TCU home opener to try to get the message out even more, you know, try to get the message out even more. And I was told, like I told you, I was told by one of the I was told by a Fort Worth police officer that he had received an email. He had asked me my name when they escorted me off the property, because I was on TCU property. So they escorted me off and just took me to a spot where I could protest. And he asked, he said, what's your name again? And I told him, he said, yeah, he said, I received an email on you. I received an email about you. So if he received it, I'm sure it went across the whole damn department, you know. And that's not who I, you know.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
And you know what's sad about it, Adrian? All these drug houses in Fort Worth ain't seen a drug raid in I don't know when. All these gang bangers and all this killing and shooting, we don't see the police running up in nobody's house, grabbing nobody up out of there. But they want to put an APB out for a man who went down to City Hall and disagreed with the mayor. Make it make sense. I mean, y'all, this is crazy. They're weaponizing the police against law-abiding citizens, but the drug dealer can sell all the drugs he wants, and the police just pass by him and act like he don't know he's selling drugs because he don't want it. He don't want that fire or that heat, but he'd rather come up on a law-abiding citizen and beat them down, harass, follow, annoy them to death. But at the same time, you are paying these folks $65,000 a year to do this as a job? Are you serious? When are y'all going to go get the bad guys? When are y'all going to get the murderers, the sex traffickers, you know, the rapists, the pedophiles? When y'all going to go get them? Because y'all spending all this time on three people who ain't committing a crime. Make that make sense.
You're so right.
That's crazy.
And the only thing I hope to do, like I've been doing, you know, is just people who see me down, it's like you all had, people who see me down at City Hall, heard me at City Hall. I'm not no, what am I saying to do that's so controversial, or such a threat to the establishment? You know what I'm saying? Because anything, I try to provoke thought, and I try to encourage others to get involved, because guess what? I'm sorry. You could be one of those individuals who sit back and just let as they would say, crap happen. You know what I'm saying? You could be one of those individuals, you know, just content with life, but that's not me. That's never been me. You know, I've always been vocal when it came to issues. You know what I'm saying? I've always spoken up on behalf of people when I see people get mistreated. I'll run my mouth. I do whatever I can to try to, because I hate to see others getting wronged. You know what I'm saying? So if that's in me to try to help somebody, whatever's in me to help somebody, Well, God damn it, I'm gonna continue doing it. You know what I'm saying? But if that's a threat to you, then this means something you're doing wrong. It ain't on me. It's something you're doing wrong. And Carrie, we always try to preference it with light and darkness. You know what I'm saying? The light and the darkness. Darkness cannot comprehend light. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like hopefully when I'm doing something that I'm it's a light in me that's shining. You know what I'm saying? Trying to provoke thought and change that hopefully encourages someone else, and not anything opposite of that. I'm not someone who's divisive or who plays on fear. You know, one big thing is fear mongering. That's another thing that get people's own personal fears is what keeping a lot of people bound to false realities. People got to shake, get away. Whatever got you fearing the Most High God, it ain't got nothing to do with the Most High God. So, but these individuals have a darkness in them, Carrie, that they don't want to let go, or it's either they don't want to let it go, or their minds are so, you know, their minds are so beyond, comprehension that they only doing what they know to do, you know?
You know what I see, though, you know, when we talk about your trespassing, let's just say, first of all, I hate to use this terminology, y'all, but it applies. Maddie Parker gaslights the speakers. Her, Jerry Williams, Bivens, they gaslight the speakers. And then they sit back and they play this, oh, look at them. Oh, my God.
You know, yep.
Come on, y'all. I mean, y'all.
You're so right.
People downtown gaslighting people and then turn around and act like, oh, my God, people are disrupted. They're so out of order. They're so out of control.
Mm-hmm.
We got a band here. That needs to stop. Court of order needs to apply to the damn council. The court needs to apply to the damn council. Since when has the mayor turned to the city council and said decorum in the courtroom? I mean, decorum on the dais. We haven't heard that. Since when has anybody said point of order to anybody on the dais? Not. I have never seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But they say the most ignorant. And I'm going to call it ignorant, y'all, ignorant stuff to people, because those people only have 3 minutes to be down there. And if you all don't have 3 minutes to give to the speaker, take the day off. Go home.
Mm-hmm.
But don't come down there with your bitter self and, I mean, rush through every meeting as though, you know, it's on some type of accelerated program. Like, you know, you all don't have time to listen to the speaker, so y'all just going to disrupt everybody that's speaking. The man had to come. The man checked Flores the other night as Flores was trying to interrupt him on a public comment, y'all. On public comment night, they gonna tell you how you getting off topic. That's just how ignorant they are downtown right now.
Yeah.
You can't be off topic on public comment. You got 3 freaking minutes.
Right. And not only that, you think about what happened as soon as they started a public comment, guess who was not in the room? Your mayor of Fort Worth, Mandy Parker, did not come back in the room. She stayed. They said she was still there, but she didn't want to be in there because of United My Justice, and she was offended. So she did not even. I thought she was still in the room because I wasn't paying attention. I was just talking to them, but I wasn't paying attention because I didn't have my glasses on. I couldn't really see. But Nikki said no. Maddie Parker was not in the room. She was there, but she didn't want to be in there while we was doing public comment. So she ended up staying in another room watching it. But she didn't want to be. She didn't want to face the facts. She didn't want to face what we was about to say to her about TCU. And so that's a problem for me. I have never in my life, Karen, seen a mirror. I've been under by 6-7 mirrors. Bob Bowler, Kenna Barth, Mike Moncrief, Kate Ranger when she was the mayor, and Betsy Price and this mayor right here. This has got to be the, I ain't never thought I would say this, this has got to be the worst mayor. I thought Kate Ranger was something. Kate Ranger is beautiful compared to this woman right here. This is a real evil woman who has took the spot. And you know it's bad when other people that don't even live here, this other white woman that lived in Wellerford who was going to run for mayor, I never forget, she told me some years back, she said, what is y'all mayor doing? I said, who mayor? I don't consider her as my mayor. But she couldn't figure out what the mayor was doing. And you know it's bad, even when Kelly Elliott Ray make a statement and say on my radio show back in April that she don't know what this city council is doing. That is a major problem when other city council, former city council, and other people who don't have no respect, people outside of Fort Worth don't even have respect for our city because the way our city is being run.
It's past that, y'all, because they are on some trip downtown that they all have to vote like, and you're not a team player if you don't vote or like with the rest of the team. And I have to say hats off to Charles Lauderdar in District 4 and Alan Blaylock in District 10.
Yes, yes.
Listen, y'all, I've talked about both of y'all, but I apologize tonight. I respect you highly because I know it took courage to come out of formation and decide that you all were going to vote for the people who basically came down here and repeatedly said, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And you all were the only two that were courageous enough to stand up and say, we don't agree with this. And and shame on you for trying to shame Alan Blaylock for saying,
yes, Carrie.
Yes, I saw that. You're right.
Shame
you
on you.
So right.
Yeah, shame on you, brother. We caught that. And shame on you for calling yourself, I don't know what you, the armor bearer for Matty Parker. That's what it seems like. I mean.
Yeah, because he's definitely not representing African America. I'm going to be real about that. He sold us out a long time ago. He sold African America out a long time ago.
Chris is acting like Matty Parker's armor bearer these days. Am I right, Adrian?
Hold on, Donnell. Let's lump us all up. Just say he sold himself out, because I don't. He sold himself out. Yeah, he did utilize.
That's what I was saying. He sold himself.
He did utilize the climate of the time to, like I said, I said it before, and I'll say it again. He did use the climate of the moments to get himself in a position that he's in, you know. Let me give people a little history of Mr. Nettles. Back when he ran for mayor of Fort Worth, he used the, God rest her soul, Miss Jacqueline Craig situation to kind of put himself in the spotlight. He used her situation, mm-hmm. that situation was going on when he ran for mayor the first time. And fast forward to this recent, not just the election, what, 2021 election, he was using the Tatiana Jefferson and the climate that was going on surrounding it to kind of to catapult itself. So he played on those two particular periods of time to elevate himself.
Yeah.
He has truly lost his identity. Like you said, we thought he identified as a man of God, a preacher, which it seemed like he became a reflection of that. He was like Judas, the one who took the silver and sold out the Savior.
Adrian.
You know?
Also, you got to remember, he marched with us. I was the organizer for the George Floyd protest. Karen will tell you that. He marched with us, helped us to lead the march. Used that video, did not put us in a video, but used that video with him marching like he was the one that organized the march of the George Floyd protest. Like he was the one that was over. That is what got him elected as the city council. Was that video and people seeing him marching with us every single day in the front, leading the march with us. But what he did, he redid that video, because I was in that video in the front, but he redid that video with just him in that video. He added that video to make it seem like he was the one that was leading the march. We even told him that, we confronted him that some while back, maybe about, what, 3-4 weeks ago when we was down at the city hall. And he admitted it. He didn't admit about the video, but he did admit it that he was with us and protesting. Because people was calling him out that particular day when you and Bob Willoughby was there on the outside. They was, and we called them. They was they confronted him. And he admitted it that, I was with United by Justice. I'd be the first to say that. But he couldn't admit that in the video. He couldn't admit that nowhere else. So we just want to make sure we let people know, hey, that at this real time.
Let me say this. Councilman Nettles, the black folks put you in, and the next time you run, they're going to take you out. Because first of all, you let a black brother be in crisis in your office. I didn't talk about it before, but I'm going to talk about your ass tonight. You let a black brother be in your office, have a medical emergency, and instead of putting a family medical leave, you let the brother quit his job. If there had been a white woman in the same situation, we know what would have happened. She would have been on medical leave, and if she couldn't work in your damn office anymore, they would have put her somewhere else. That's how it goes, and we know that. And they ought to sue you for it, because he was not supposed to quit. He was supposed to be put on family medical if, in fact, your office is toxic, as the young man has said.
Mm-hmm.
So, Councilman Adams, when you up there running your mouth on that council, we watching you, brother. We watching you. It's like Matty Parker's armor bearer. Okay,
yeah,
for
right.
your piece of self. So I don't know
you're
what
right.
you own. I mean, let me finish.
And
all
then a fast. And then a fast.
Hold on, Donnell.
Go ahead, Karen. Go ahead, Karen.
Okay. I don't know what you own, brother. But come down off the high horse before somebody knocks you down.
Yes.
Ain't nobody talking about you shooting up your brother's car and why you shot up your brother's car. Ain't nobody talking about that. Ain't nobody talking about some of the other rumors that have been linked to you at the cigar bar. Ain't nobody talking about that. So when you own that damn die-ass running your mouth, know that we know your secrets. We just choosing not to talk about them. But what you did this past Monday by putting Reggie Gardner on that damn panel for the Unsheltered in Polytechnic, knowing that that crazy motherfucker had been talking to me, and I'm calling him what he is. And I know he's listening, and that's exactly what I'm calling you. And you had him on your panel. And so he was some upstanding citizen when you know he's a crazy motherfucker who had been stalking me on Facebook. Stalking my show, repeatedly harassing me online for a month. And then you and Councilwoman Jeanette Martinez put that Negro on a panel as though he's someone to be admired because he's no longer homeless. He ain't no longer homeless because y'all feeding him downtown. That's why he ain't no longer homeless. But you know what? Dude, I promise you, I will work for whoever's campaign who's running against you next time. And I promise all of this is coming up again because you basically showed just how poor of judgment you have. The fact that you would do that. I contacted you and Jeanette Martinez before the panel discussion even started to let you know we had discovered that Reggie Gardner was Amy Nguyen, that Reggie Gardner was AJ Real Life. So you knew it before you even started the panel discussion, yet you went on and you pretended you was doing something upstanding for the community when in fact it was all a fraud. You guys were complicit with the harassment. You all were feeding this man information about me, Mel, and others. And yet you tried to pretend like this was some professional forum for the community. Shame on you, preacher boy. Shame on you. I mean, and all that you do down there, know that you have God ultimately to answer to.
Yes.
You have God. And first of all, he says, woe unto the shepherd that leads his sheep astray. Hmm. You're the biggest alcoholic down there on the on diet.
Ooh, yes.
I'm sorry. Everybody calls you a lush. And so how dare you, councilman, have that Negro on your panel knowing that he has stalked me? And Jeanette Martinez, I don't give you a pass either because you knew. And so when y'all do what you do, you got egg on your face. Because you know what? Y'all thought y'all had got away. Guess what? Reggie is just as unstable as he wants to be. And y'all know he's unstable. Yet y'all allowed that Negro to harass and stalk me.
Mm-hmm.
When I filed the lawsuit, I'm going to name you in it too, Chris Nettles and Jeanette Martinez, since y'all thought it was okay to basically co-sign the BS. It was almost as though, like smearing it around, like, okay, it's cool. You know, so what, he did it. No, it's not so what. It's considered a crime to harass somebody online. It's to stalk them, to harass them, to torment them, to annoy them repeatedly for months on end, and they were being fed information from downtown. So I take it personal, Chris Nichols. And I don't know who you think you're linking arms with, but child, I'm going to tell you something. It ain't going to end well. It's not gonna end well for you. You got too many people with too many rumors on you. I mean, and you get up there on the dais and you have your nerve to look down on people on the phone.
Yes.
Ooh, crazy to them. You even talked to Alan Blaylock when you knew he was doing the right thing. He maybe didn't have the figures in front of him for what needed to be sliced, but he had enough sense to know something needed to be sliced for the budget rather than not going up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Lord God knows I did not. Hold on one.
You're right.
Okay.
Lord God knows
okay.
I did not intend to go here. And may God forgive me. But you know what? It had to be said.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, Carrie, and like you say, it still goes back to the topic of discussion, you know, the mayor weaponizing, you know, the diocese is becoming a weaponization. And like you say, how we know with law enforcement is involved, I just take Bob Willoughby's situation, how, you know, council member Bivens has used police as a weaponization against one of her constituents. So I want people to know that, yeah, we're not just up here just talking, you know. And I'm committed to this, Carrie, regardless of what comes. I'm committed to this, you know. I'm going to do my best to, I do my best to live above reproach. I do my best to live to a point where a person can't say this, that, or the other about me as it relates to, you know, try to put me in a bad light, you know what I'm saying? But I want people to know I don't live in fear. That's one thing I don't live in is fear. I do not live in fear.
Mm-hmm.
You, this life my God is not, I don't live in fear. So I want to share, Carrie, if I would, about the incident the other night so people can know why it's important for people to not just sit on the sidelines when it comes to law enforcement. And what I mean by law enforcement, if you're able to, if you happen up on a situation, don't just look at it as, oh, well, they'll take care of it, you know. If you can involve yourself in any way, if you can pull your phone out, you don't have to engage them, but if you can pull your phone out, if you could provide some type of, another perspective to a situation, do it, because if it wasn't for cell phones and everyday citizens who are concerned about things going on, we always get the media's perspective for things going on, or we always get law enforcement perspective. So I just so happened to come up on, came to the Fort Worth Central Station. Fort Worth Central Station, for people who don't know, is the main hub for the Fort Worth Transportation Authority, and it also encompasses three rail systems that we use here in the city. Amtrak utilizes it. We have the TRE, which is a commuter train that goes from Dallas to from Fort Worth to Dallas. And then you got the Texrail, which is a commuter train that goes from Fort Worth all the way to the DFW, to DFW Airport. So I just so happened to, not just so happened, I came to the Central Station in transition to work, and I just noticed a young man, he walking on one of the train tracks, you know, that accompanies, you know, he walking on the train track. And I'm like, when I first saw it, I'm like, you know, I said to him, what the fuck? What are you doing? Then one of the security personnel was coming my direction. I kind of pointed over like, you know, what's up with that, you know? But my first concern was for the young brother. So as I got up on the train platform, that's when I noticed two police officers coming. One was on the platform I was on, and one was on the adjoining platform on the opposite side, and they were walking. Now, the brother was on the tracks. He had a good distance on him, you know. He had a hoodie on. He had a good distance on him. So, but the thing about it is, they were walking. See this element of surprise? That's what they were doing. Well, nothing verbally being said. They were just walking. They were just walking towards his direction. So the brother, when he turned around, I immediately pulled my phone out. Now, this video I briefly recorded before I went live. He turned around, and as he turned around, they start, both officers put their hands on their guns, and they continue walking. Listen, you all, no verbal commands given, nothing at all said. They just had their hands on their guns. So the brother, he stuck his hands in his pocket. He literally stuck his hands in his pocket. They stopped. No verbal commands. The brother realizing, okay, it's law enforcement. So what the brother did, he took his hands out of his pocket. I didn't hear the command from the officer on the opposite platform. I couldn't hear. I don't know what he said to the brother. All I know is the brother put his hands up. He just put his hands up, extended his hands in the air, and the brother got on the platform, and the brother just immediately laid down. Now, as all this was going on, first thing I said, make sure your body camera's on, because that is the state law. I want people to know, anytime you're interacting with law enforcement, they're interacting with you, or they're interacting with somebody else, their body camera's got to come on immediately. It ain't no, we're going to think about it. So me, first thing I said, officers, make sure your body camera's on. Make sure your body camera's on. They was able to call for them, and then they started bragging them towards the front of the terminal or whatever. As I was heading that way, that's when I started to see a police officer pull in, you know. So I said, you know what, I need to go live because this situation, you know, shouldn't be what's going on. I know I was on the outside looking in, but first thing I said, and I articulated, what's the crime, officer? I said, walking on the train track is not a crime. Walking on the train track is not a crime. I noticed the trash cans were turned over. So first thing came to me, it's a mental situation. He don't turn trash cans over and he's on the train track. This is a mental situation. So that's what I said. Officers, what's the crime? Walking on the train tracks is not a crime. This is a mental cause. This is a mental cause. I said he needs help. He doesn't need to go to jail. You know, and people can see the video. I kind of reiterated that as much as I could. And they try to, you know, of course, they try to get me, try to tell me I got to move or whatever. But I was at a distance to where I wasn't interfering with them. You know what I'm saying? But the fact that I was verbalizing and recording them is what made them feel as if they had the right to do what they did. So long story short, my goal was to preserve life because we know Fort Worth PD has a record for taking lives and then providing a perspective that's not realistic afterwards, you know. And we, you know, what happened to the sister back months ago, a mental health crisis, mm-hmm. a mental health crisis. Where that mm-hmm. officer, all she had to do was close the door, but she chose mm-hmm. to stand in that doorway and engage this woman who was having a mental health crisis instead of backing out and waiting for somebody to come help her. She decided to shoot that woman. So, yeah. Now I know how officers make bad judgment calls. You know, first thing is to pull a weapon out instead of trying to, you know, defuse the situation. Go ahead, Carrie.
Let me piggyback off something you said before I let it slip by me. When you were talking about they weaponized the police department against the people, Chris Nettles, back to you. You said the other night, yeah, it's funny all y'all showing up tonight, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is the gist of what he said. Y'all, it's funny y'all all showing up tonight when we had these budget meetings in your community. Reminder, Bob Willoughby went to one of them meetings in y'all community, and he was lifted up and taken out of the building for asking a question. So it ain't even safe to go to y'all little meetings that ain't recorded. And you know what I'm saying? Because it looks like to me, if you are somebody who they don't like, then they could just very easily use their police department to
yep.
have you dragged up out of there. So Chris Nettles, mm-hmm. to answer the question, that's why people don't come to y'all's meetings, because they don't trust that when they go to the meeting, they ain't going to have a situation like what happened to Bob. So y'all remember that, right? Y'all remember how that went down. That was at one of their meetings. Gina Bivens had him removed.
Yeah, she all she had to do was motion her hand, and she did it. Gina stuck her hand in her. She stuck her finger in her ear. I don't know if it was a right hand or left, probably a right hand, and she motioned over. That's all she did. She stuck her hand in her ear. Bob was talking to the moderator, whoever was giving that particular over that particular meeting. Gina Bivens stuck her right hand in her and motioned over at Bob, and next thing you know, law enforcement came in.
That part.
And then they trespassed from a community center. Mm-hmm. A community center, by all means. It's not private. That belongs to the people.
Mm-hmm. For a whole year. And y'all, let me back up something. So, because I want to be clear about this Reggie Gardner person. Reggie Gardner was at City Hall Tuesday, and mm-hmm. he encountered Donnell Ballard, and he also encountered Manuel Mata.
Right.
So that you all don't think we own him without cause. Reggie Gardner told Manuel Mata that it wasn't him that was harassing me, it was his wife. Well, guess what? We know he doesn't have a wife because his boss, Tony Grant, over at Love Acts, said that Reggie is not married. So, y'all, Reggie done it. Let's just say, and I'm saying that intentionally, Reggie done it. So, City Hall, who obviously is complicit in this on some level, you knew that. And you, and he said several times, y'all, on some of those posts, they told me to tone it down. Who is they, Reggie? Is that City Hall? Is that City Council? Is that so the mayor? Who was telling you to tone it down? But you kept revving it up, thank God, until we figured out who the heck you were. But he told Manuel Mata, y'all, Tuesday night that it was his wife. So y'all seeing that he doesn't have a wife, that means it forfeits back to Reggie. So Reggie is somebody who's obviously dealing with multiple personality disorders or whatever you want to call it, whatever that mental issue got going on, it ain't on me. But it's on the city that you all were complicit in what he did. I mean, this man hangs around city council meetings. He was being fed information by somebody downtown. So now what did he say in the conversation you had with him?
But a conversation, he said, he started walking up to me. We had just got some protesting, and he just came up to me and started telling me and Nikki that he was sorry for what he did. Of course, Nikki, our president of United My Justice didn't believe it, because she said, like, she made a statement to me. She said, if he really mean that, he would have had already took all that stuff down. He didn't mean a word he said. So Nikki and me didn't really accept apology. And, you know, I left and you know, came over, left and went across the street. And you know what happened after that.
Yeah, let me say this, though, y'all. Now, remember, if he's admitting to Donnell that he's sorry for the things that he posted, those things were not posted on Reggie Gardner's page. They were posted on either the page Amy Nguyen or AJ Realize. So the fact that he admits to Donnell that he did it and said he apologized for it and then told Manuel Mata that his wife did it, what does that tell y'all? So the city appears to me to have a history of dealing with people who use aliases, you know, people who are weak-minded, people who are some type of way in some type of vulnerable state where they are needing acceptance from downtown or whatever. So somebody downtown is very good at reading weak-minded people, and they some kind of way find a way to use these people to do their dirty work. So they use these people to garbage people, to do the stuff they don't want to do. But some kind of way, we saw this with Leon Merritt, okay? And we're seeing it with this young man. And there's another person who ran for office, but I won't call your name, but they're using you the same way. And so it's amazing to me that people are going down there for whatever reason, but they're coming out as gatekeepers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. You make a good point when you say that.
So they reading y'all. FYI, if you're sitting in that chambers, you know, Donnell found out you can't sit in those desks that are the highest level in the chambers. Donnell was told that you cannot sit there. You know why you can't sit there, y'all? Because they want to surround you with employees who are obviously spying on the people in the chamber. You got the people on the dais sitting at an elevated state, and then you got employees. You got the police on the wall, and then you got the employees on this highest seat in the chambers. So to me, it looks like they spying on everybody that comes in there. You got all kind of people in there that are, I guess, trying to read everybody that's in there. And then if it's not that, you got the people on the dais, you know, they're critiquing everything you say you signed up to say. So if you are even on public comment saying something that's off topic, somebody like Flores tells you you're off topic on public comment. Y'all, this is getting weird.
And then think about this, Karen, behind us, what we were sitting down at. We couldn't even hardly hear what they were saying because the two women that was on their laptop, they must have been employed. They kept on running their big mouth. As bad as I want to say, can you lower your voice? I didn't even say it. Me and Nick looking at each other. We can't even hardly hear We try to hear what they're saying, but these two women are just running in my, I don't know what the hell they were talking about, but it was really getting on my nerves because I couldn't hardly hear what was going on. And this was happening right during the budget meeting.
See, they controlling y'all, everything that's going on of those chambers. You innocently going down there thinking, okay, I'm just going to go to city council because they're doing X, Y, Z tonight. But looks like it's a controlled state down there. Y'all, it's a police state even inside the chamber. You got the whole room is a circle, and all around the room you got the gatekeepers, and you got the police department, and then you got the employees, and then you got the people on the dais. What kind of nonsense? Adrian,
you no, I was gonna say, Carrie, it goes back to what you were sharing regarding Mr. Gardner. It's like now he shared with Manuel that it was his wife, right? We know he don't have a wife, but the thing about it, even if you did have a wife, you knew she was doing it. Why didn't you stop it? Same thing with the as it relates to the Diaz. I think more or less they use individuals to do their bidding because they can hide their hands. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They try to hide their hands from their dirty deeds, you know, so that's why they start using certain individuals. And myself, Kara, Donnell, we don't operate in the spirit of confrontation or wanting to get at you, you know, but y'all gonna end up crossing the wrong person. But they're going to have one of them bad spirits in them, and they're going to return. I don't do evil for evil, but they're going to end up saying something off that dais to somebody disrespectfully, or however they're going to end up treating somebody like this. They're going to end up disregarding somebody off that dais because of how they conduct themselves. And that person, because they got that bad spirit in them, they're going to want to say, you know what, I'm going to get you back. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now, Carrie, you say they are creating an atmosphere that somebody's going to get hurt or end up getting killed, right? You've said that. The thing about it is the mayor and his council members, they have a fathom in their mind that y'all got to move around in the city. Y'all not a protected class. So, and I'm not, what I'm saying, I shouldn't have to put a disclaimer out, but sometimes he's talking threatening. So let me pull my disclaimer out. Okay, let me pull my disclaimer out. I'm not saying anything threatening towards anyone. I'm just stating reality that you all are not a protected class. You got to move around the city. Y'all going to run to somebody with one of them spirits that don't give two hoots about who you are, and they're going to give you what they're going to give you. Take it how you want to take it. Take it how you want to take it. But again, when it comes to the division and pitting people against people, and then when that don't work, utilizing law enforcement, it's like, I mean, what more do y'all want? And these positions, I just understand this. I think it's just the ideal of being in these positions and the look that comes with it and the ideal of power that comes with it that has corrupted a lot of these individuals. But yeah, Kara, it's just something. I just hope more people get involved. You know, that's above all else. We need more people's involvement, and not just sitting on the sideline like this stuff is not happening.
Yeah,
I agree. And you know, I think the time or two that I've gone down there, y'all, it's such an uneasiness. They don't even have sense enough to make the people welcome. City belongs to the people. It don't belong to y'all. Y'all may sit up on those high benches, but y'all making $25,000 and $29,000 a year. Who y'all fooling? I mean, that's what we pay y'all. We know you're stealing the rest. We get that part. But you're making $25,000 a week, crazy. So if you're making anything above $25,000 or $29,000, you're stealing it. So y'all have these arrogant egos like y'all are gods with the small g sitting up on those daises. I mean, on the dais. Mm-hmm. And it's almost sad that y'all took a position in which you were elected to work for the people, and y'all have basically done everything but what the people asked you to do. Every time a vote takes place, in some of these serious folks, these people come down there in groves begging y'all to do the right thing, and y'all will turn y'all's nose up and do just the opposite. Who does it, y'all? They do not get it. But, you know, I heard the lady, I heard Holly Clemens talk about how she's a stay-at-home mother because she has a 10-year-old. She'd like to see her child, you know, she'd like to complete, you know, the raising of her child without going back into the workforce, and how she doesn't get vacations and she doesn't get any to have any real enjoyment because she's the sacrifice that she has to make for being a stay-at-home mom, and how the new tax increase was going to affect her. Other people came down there with stories. Mr. James talked about how he had to take his TV, think about taking his TV off the wall to pay a bill. I just think downtown right now, they don't get the people. And then when people like us speak out, then we're the bad guys. You know, they try to do the COINTELPRO BS, you know, and try to discredit us or make us look like, but y'all don't have enough maturity down there to realize all that stuff comes back to the house. Whatever you put out, it comes back. And so people are realizing that everything you're saying is not true, that what you're doing is you're trying to hurt people who are only just people who are speaking out. That's sick.
Yeah.
That's sick. And to weaponize your police department to basically use the mailman, the grocery store, you know, anywhere people travel, the bus routes, or that's it. But you can't tell us where the pedophiles are. You can't tell us where the sex traffickers are. You can't tell us where the drug dealer or the rapist or the murderers are. You ain't looking for them, but you are spending all this money to harass people.
And I mean, then y'all, they got up. You're right. You're right about that, Susan. I was reading a report this morning in Newsbreak. Fort Worth police were getting so desperate to arrest people that they arrested this man for stealing $30 and did a high-speed chase on this man, nearly killed some people over $30. And we know the city of Fort Worth have a policy. If y'all can go make them read it, they have a policy. If it's not over $100, you're not even allowed to arrest that person. You're supposed to give that person a ticket and let him go on down the road. For you to arrest this man for stealing $30 and do a high-speed chase, there is something wrong with our city in Fort Worth. It really is. $30? You arrested them for $30.
If somebody had been killed in this high-speed chase, that would have been, what, the third person killed within, like, a short period for just high-speed chasing? That's right.
Yeah, over $30. You're supposed to get them a ticket. The ordinance says they changed that some years back. But again, we dealing with Chief Knowles, and we dealing with Maddie Parker, who just don't care, and they making their own rules as they go, just like they told me that, Mr. Ballard, this is a private city hall. It's considered some private property. And me and you today found out earlier today that it is a public property. So I don't know what that Fort Worth police officer called and still trying to do, but he did not fool me, because I had already knew that it was a public property. But for them to say it was private property, we're not allowed to be on a private property because it's private. That's so stupid to me.
But I'm going to say this, you know, about that call and other calls, y'all, since this administration has been in office, literally, they changing rules for one person. We saw Thomas Trollen-Sinzi go to city council one night and speak on every agenda item. With a million people in the city, they changed the rules just because Thomas did that. We saw Bob Willoughby continually go down there and tell them that they need to move the public comments to the top of the agenda. Now, that was Bob's opinion. Nobody else voiced that opinion but Bob. But Bob Willoughby voiced that opinion, and y'all changed the rules with a million people in the city just because one man annoyed y'all by saying that. So what did y'all do? Y'all went and changed. Okay, well, we ain't going to put it at the top of the agenda. We'll just give it its own night.
Right.
And then
change the top.
Let me finish that now. And then even change the top. Okay, so Mayor Donnell goes down there, and they protested in front of City Hall. Again, a million people. out of a million people in the city, y'all going to change the rules for Donnell? That's not even leadership, y'all. That's not leadership.
Right. Thank you. You are so right. You're right about that. All of a sudden, we've been protesting that breezeway for many years, 30, 40 years. Now, all of a sudden, they tell me, oh, it's been the rules. No, it ain't been the rules, man. I was just protesting in the breezeway two, 3 weeks ago. And now, all of a sudden, now we come down there today, you change the rules all of a sudden and say that from now on, you guys have to protest on the sidewalk. Wow.
But you can't change the rules with a million people. You keep boasting that you're the 13th largest city in the country. You got over a million people or close to a million mm-hmm. people. But you change the rules for one person. You mm-hmm. don't even care for what the other people think. Do the other people have a problem with this? You know, let's take a survey. Let's ask the other people. Nope. One person annoys you, so you change the rules. And when people like us speak out against it, then we're the bad guys because mm-hmm. we're just supposed to go along. You know, with the status quo, don't say nothing. Listen, you know, they got it. They running it. And everybody else should sit down, shut up. Well, we're not kids. We're not.
Right.
We're not kids. And I, on some level, y'all really don't. I mean, Maddie Parker said she's a PK. What she said she's a PK, a preacher's kid, y'all. But I ain't never seen some of the stuff come out of somebody's supposed to be a preacher's kid, like I'm seeing coming out of Maddie Parker. I'm sorry. I mean, it's too many times people are using the word evil when it's attached to her. Y'all, because mm-hmm. this woman has such a clap back to everything. She feels the need to clap back at everybody that disagrees with her. You know, That's not leadership. Leadership does not take every critique and clap back against a person because they critique what you do. As long as you're in that seat, somebody's going to be critiquing what you do. So something that you can't deal with, and that sounds like any of y'all up there who have a problem with the critique shouldn't even be on the diet.
Yeah.
And something's wrong. And so, Donnell, listen, do you want to tell them about your situation with CPS or you want to pass on it? Because
I'm going to pass on it, but just know it definitely happened. Karen actually witnessed me on the phone when they first came over. Thank God it's over with now that they finally was able to close the case because they could not find anything that I did that I neglected. My baby boy. So
let's just say it's suspect the nature of the complaint and even the continued discussion about it when it's nothing there, nothing to see there. But yet CPS enters their life for nothing.
Yeah, for no reason. It was so sad. They didn't even know. When they knock on the door, they still didn't know why they was there. But they was in my life about 2 weeks. Didn't find nothing wrong. Didn't find no abuse enough. Talked to my son. And my son, he was honest. He said, my dad ain't never done nothing to me. And so they really didn't have a reason. And finally, we got the letter 2 weeks later. And the letter said that we did our investigation and we find no reason to keep this case, continue to keep this case open. So this case is now officially closed. So they can find nothing, no wrongdoing.
So, y'all, they can just stick CPS on you for no reason at all, try to destroy your whole life.
Uh-huh.
Over nothing. Y'all, there was never, to be clear, there was never a case of abuse even mentioned in the complaint, yet they were there.
Nope.
Yet they're there. And so, and listen, dumbfounded as to why they were there. But they were there. So you got them calling on people. We believe. You got them using their IT people with the city, hacking into people's emails, websites, personal business. Y'all, that's not legal. That's not legal. Maddie Parker has been in that seat 2.5 years. she worked for the city as chief of staff, or what was that? Was that what she was called, the chief of?
Yeah, the chief of staff.
The chief of staff. For Bessie Price. And the entire city council.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. So you got about 7.5 years under your belt. So you know how this police department moves. But yet,
yes,
when you come in and you boast that they're the best police department in the country, you haven't done one thing to make them better. Knowing all the complaints that have been made against this police department, you have done nothing to make them better. In fact, once Maddie Parker got in, it was a shift,
yeah,
in the way they moved.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost, though, y'all, I'm trying to use my words, choose my words carefully, but it's almost a level of like a white supremacist kind of vibe to it. You know,
mm-hmm,
like you know, you're seeing people on there who just don't like black people. And
right,
they should never be in law enforcement.
And Carrie, since she went there, that's just you talking about how Mayor Parker operates as an individual. It just mm-hmm, I'm sure it's all within her upbringing. You know, this superiority complex. You're above everyone. And we know if. You were raised up around any type of hatred. Most times that hatred is deep. So that stuff a lot of people don't wing themselves off of that in their adult life, because it's like a form of protection. It's like a false sense of protection and security that, you saw your parents, quote-unquote, benefit from it. You saw the people around you, quote-unquote, benefit from it. You know what I'm saying? So as a child, when children go over there, you can't fault the children. But when you become an adult and you learn right from wrong, that's when it's on you to say, you know what? Damn, all these years, I didn't understand hatred, this, that, or the other. But now that I'm an adult, I understand the seriousness of it and what it does to individual lives, and I need to separate myself from that. But when you don't separate yourself from that as an adult, it's no longer your parents. It's you. It's your choice. It's your, you know what I'm saying? So she's acting what's in her, you know? And like I said, I don't want to misquote, because I share Maya Angelou's quote Tuesday night, you know, when individuals show you who they are, believe them. You know what I'm saying? When they show you who they are, believe them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. I have no expectations of this mayor. I have no expectations. What she's shown me, that's all I'm gonna treat her. I'm gonna treat her based off of what she's shown me. You know what I'm saying? And some say she's a racist. I don't gotta say it. If people saying she, I don't gotta say it. If people saying she, I don't gotta say it. Because the thing about it is, everything is left for individuals' interpretation. But what she's shown me, I'm gonna treat her according to what she's shown me, you know. And I don't see nothing good from her, you know.
Yo, HICO has a population in 2000, as the census is saying, in 2021, of 1,343. That's like Como, y'all. That's like Como. Seriously. Isn't it about 1,000 people in Como, Adrian? That's about the size of it.
I say it's probably the population. It could be more. But more or less, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's about the size of Como. So you got a town of the size of Como. Everybody know everybody. Everybody know everybody's business. So y'all can take them stories down and heard it, believe them or not. But just know the population ain't but 1,343 in 2021. So, Mayor Parker, whatever you got going on, you need to reconcile it with God. Because the way you moving, if you don't think karma is going to hit you and your household, it will. Trust me, you may make it hard for some people because you're in leadership, but God has a way of making it hard for you and your household. So one thing I've found about life right now, in the morning you may wake up with a pocket full of money and by noon I know what happened to it all. So you got to be careful with how you trying to strangle somebody else's income, how you trying to make it hard for somebody else, because you are in there today, but tomorrow ain't promised. And God has a way of doing a total wipeout. And so all y'all on the dais to think y'all, it's okay to let the leadership move like this, it's not. It's not. And all of you all are supposed to hold each other accountable when you're wrong. And if you see your mayor moving wrong or your police chief moving wrong or this police department moving wrong, it's somebody's responsibility to say something. The police department is always telling people, if you see something, say something. Well, we're saying that to y'all tonight. If you see something, say something. If you see your mayor out of line and making it hard for people and trying to strangle people, cripple people's movement in the city and try to strangle them financially, that is sadistic. That is evil. That's from the pit of hell. And if you think it ain't some bad karma on you, girl, your daddy can't be a preacher. He cannot. No, I'm starting to wonder what kind of preacher is this daddy. No. She claims she goes to her daddy for wisdom. Your daddy don't tell you what a man sow, that shall he also reap. That's coming up again. Chief Notes. What a man sow, that shall he also reap. Keep making these calls on unrighteous lives and see don't a wife outcome through your household. And that's on God. That's on God. You whatever a man sow, he going to get that again. Karma will be waiting for you when you least expect it. You cannot go around thinking that you can ruin people's lives. That ain't going to happen without it being a clap back from God. Because he says, such not my anointed. And he meant that.
Yep.
He meant that. And so y'all keep on downtown moving like y'all moving and thinking it ain't going to be some karma on that. This city, Tatiana Jefferson, y'all made national news all over the world, people talking about how did they do that to that girl. Because God put a light on this city. When I first heard about Tatiana Jefferson, I knew God, I hate to say, use a bad situation to bring spotlight on a bad city. As unfortunate as it was for her to lose her life, the Bible says he uses even bad for good. So he will take a bad situation and use it to show the world what's going on here in Fort Worth. And it was fortunate for Tatiana Jefferson. God knows if anybody died without cause, it was Tatiana Jefferson. I mean, to be in her household, minding her own business, taking care of her nephew, I mean, doing the best she could, and to die for nothing just for looking out of a window after a man put a flashlight in the window to draw her to the window?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't think it's a bad karma coming in this city.
And Carrie, real quick, speaking to the Tatiana Jefferson situation, not only that, how they tried to paint the community as being this one of those communities that, you know, you got to be leery of. Well, this woman didn't feel that way about her community. Her doors were open. It was late at night. If this area was so bad, she felt safe enough and secure enough in her own house to leave her have the front her doors open. You know what I'm saying? So, what you're saying is this it speaks to, like you say, when God does something, oh shit, you know he does it. You know, so and go back to the confined in the knowledge of the wise. These people think they're so wise on their diaries. They think they're so wise. But their wisdom is turning into foolishness, you know? It's turning into foolishness because their actions, they act wise, they talk wise, but their actions speak of foolishness.
You know what? It reminded me this week when I thought about some of the things that are happening in this city and some of the things. They know what they've done to me. They know what they've allowed their police department to do to me. And to see this mayor and the way she's moving with the arrogance and the total disregard, you know, for other people, baby, all I can tell you is be still, because God gonna deal with you. And it won't be long. You cannot be somebody who claims to have come up in a household where your father was a preacher and then you do people bad. Oh, God's going to deal with you. Because, see, it's one thing to operate in ignorance. That means you didn't know. But when you come into the knowledge, you're supposed to be convicted to do the right thing. So what kind of household, again, did you come up in, and what kind of preacher is your daddy that you don't feel convicted by the things that you do? So, y'all, we're going on record tonight that all of us have experienced our little situations with the police department that just lets us know that they have weaponized the police department against us. So I'm going to go, I hope Donnell and Adrian do too. If anything happens to me, Carrie Hines is not suicidal. She does not intend to do any harm to herself. No matter what happens, I'm going to make it. And I will continue to stand. And so we still, to this day, this month, look at the death of Thomas Torland Kazi, who we all consider to have died under suspicious circumstances. So, y'all, if anything were to happen to me and I suddenly die, please know that it may be something real suspicious going on, and that maybe y'all should make certain that my body gets outside of Tarrant County to a medical examiner to be checked out. Because I don't do drugs, I don't drink, I don't smoke. I don't involve myself in criminal activity, nor do I deal with people involved in criminal activity. So as far as I'm concerned, listen, I shouldn't be dying of any suspicious causes. I haven't in my entire life even gotten a traffic ticket. Never been to jail, never been to court, and I'm not putting down anybody that I know that has. That's not my point. My point is I'm talking about me. So, again, if anything were to happen to me, consider it suspicious, get my body outside of Fort Worth, and let me get seen by a medical examiner that is not that of Tarrant County Medical Examiner. Would y'all agree, Donnell and Adrian?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I agree with you 100%. I definitely agree with y'all, Nick.
You might need to put you a disclaimer out that you ain't suicidal, nor do you intend to do harm to yourself.
Yes, and I'm definitely going to put that out there. I love myself too much. I love my community too much. So if something happened to me in the next couple of days or anytime, I guarantee y'all definitely need to investigate it. And make sure, because there ain't no way in the world I'm going to be suicidal, because I love myself too much, and I know it's wrong. So if all of a sudden somebody kill me or something happened, you better make sure that y'all do the same thing with my body.
Okay.
And I don't want no outside investigation. I don't want no inside investigation from the Tarrant County Medical Exam. I want it to be an outside agent. I'm putting that on record.
Adrian?
Oh yeah, I'm for of life. I'm a lover of people. So anybody that knows me know that. Hey, I'm just a straight solid type dude. But I don't involve myself. I've got to a point where. Whole ties pleased with it, and I'm not suicidal. I don't live my life in fear. I don't have any personal beefs out in these streets. Never thought of harming myself where life just gets so bad to where I just say, oh, they're going to take my shit back. But no, Adrian, is not suicidal. Never has been suicidal. I love people. If anything happens to me under any circumstance, as it relates to something happening that you can't comprehend, by all means, don't go with the first report. Not second or third opinion, because I'm not, I guess I don't live like that, you know. So, but, I welcome the controversy. It comes with it, but you know what? I feel like what I'm doing is for a purpose and a cause, and hey, I'm living. You know what I'm saying? So they can't kill a person who's living already. You can't kill somebody who's already not living. I've already died.
They're
living.
With your phone. That's what they're doing.
They messing with your phone.
Hold on 1 second. I'm living. I've already died to not live. I'm living because I love helping people, so I'm living. So there you go.
You know, y'all, and this is the thing. If for those who don't for those who have never experienced the things that we've experienced, that might sound like we're talking like, why would they say that? Why would they put that disclaimer out there? Y'all, because it's real. Because Thomas Roland Cosby was friends to all of us. And y'all, last September, he was here one day, and the next day we all found out that he was deceased. And Thomas Roland Cosby used to hit me up either via phone or tag me on Facebook every day or inbox me on Facebook every day. And so when somebody told me Thomas was gone, I couldn't even wrap my mind around what they meant because I just couldn't understand, like, gone where? Like, I could not make it make sense. How could he just be gone? And, you know, we know what they say, but we know none of us have any information that makes us believe that what they say happened to him happened to us. So we ain't asking y'all to believe us because it really doesn't even matter. What we know is what we know. And so since Thomas's death, it is, I'm not going to say it put us on high alert. It just made us more cautious. It just made us feel differently. It just made us be aware of our surroundings a little bit more. Adrian said he's going to get there. I've been there. And so I think though, the city is going to find itself getting sued for harassing people who didn't do anything. You can't just send out, you know, your guerrillas and attack people and strangle their livelihoods and try to cripple them and their movement in the city for nothing. And y'all don't think harm is going to come in. I don't care if you're doing it under the guise of your job or you're doing it because you personally don't like somebody, but it's still wrong, and you know it's wrong. If you see none of us have criminal records Adrian has had some minor scrapes, but we're not criminals. We're not involved in criminal activity. That's my point. We're not doing anything that would warrant the way they treated Adrian at that bus depot the other day. Like, really, the way they treated Donnell down at City Hall, the way I've been treated for a while, it is sick. It's really sick. And it speaks to people who, to be honest with you, don't know God. Because people who really know God, y'all, they move differently. I mean, a person who's got God in their life, like Adrian spoke, there's a light in a dark room. You know, you don't have to wonder where the Christian is. Their light shines before they even open their mouth. Their spirit welcomes you before you come upon them. We don't see that. When you go into City Hall, you got a room full of folks sitting up on the dais doing everything they can to keep people from coming in that room. They do everything they can to discourage people from coming down to City Hall. That's never happened before. I mean, that has never happened before. They change the times. I mean, they keep changing the rules. I mean, whatever they can do to try to make people feel uncomfortable when they come there, because they want everything expedited. Listen, talking about another rule, they changed the description. People don't even get a chance to really understand what they're talking about before they take in votes on millions, billions of dollars a week up there to changing rules. And so at the end of the day, for speaking out, to be persecuted, to be lied on, to have people try to cripple you to the point that they don't want you to have a livelihood, evil and demonic. And you know, I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end when the Bible says you're going to reap what you sow. Because one thing I done found, y'all, in my living, my years of living, what you put out, it don't come back the same way. So you might beat somebody for $10, but somebody may beat you for $100,000. That's how life works. It ain't going to come back the same way. So while y'all trying to cripple somebody's income, make sure that you don't get your own income crippled. Make sure that your livelihood don't get snatched away from you. Make sure you don't find yourself the victim of police harassment, because you won't always be in those seats. That don't happen. Yeah, those are term seats. People won't want you up there much longer, trust me. So you won't be there always. And the tables could turn very fast. And I think that's what they realize.
I thought about also what you're saying. Mercy comes with that. So you want mercy in those moments when you do face those things. But you got to realize if you somebody who's merciful or, you know, gives mercy, trust me, when you run into them hard times, then you'll wonder why people ain't keep it on care, because you are merciful. So I also got to remember how you treat individuals. Not only does it come back, you reap what you sow, but mercy accompanies that is merciful, that helps you to get through just a hard time. But like I say, if you don't have mercy, you can't expect it. You know what I'm saying? What they say. Side say you get what you put out. You get what you put out. Bible said you reap what you sow. You get what you put out.
Yeah.
Listen, y'all don't know how true that is, and I'm gonna tell you a real quick story. A person I knew, and they're deceased now. They stole from everybody. All of their relatives, when they died, some kind of way, they had everything doctored, where they got everything. And so that person happened to have gone through life, never married, never had any kids. So guess what? When they're in their ripe old age, they get sick. Their health fails them. And they have to depend on people to help them. Well, you know what? Before that person left this earth, everything they had been stolen from them. Every single thing. And as I... One thing, and y'all, if you don't know, because you're obviously not Christian, when you are in your reaping season, can't nobody even help you. People watched and saw what was going on and were powerless to help that person, because you know what? They had to reap that thing. They had to reap everything they had done to all those other family members that they had stolen from. So even though people saw them being mistreated, they were powerless to help. Even though they filed Adult Protective Services complaint to try to help that individual, it never got rectified. And when that person left here, they left here under suspicious circumstances. We are not even certain if the caregiver did not kill that person, but we couldn't prove it. So one thing I have found out about reaping season, y'all, it's real. And whatever you put out is coming back again. And you know what? For that person to be the age that they were and be powerless and unable to stop anything that was going on, they were mistreated on every level. And nobody could stop it, because they didn't have children and they did not have a spouse. So the caregiver, whatever they said, is the way it went. And so I'm just sharing that story with y'all because I saw that. If I had been told it, I wouldn't have even believed it, but I saw it. And I saw every single thing that I'd heard people say that person had done to family members. They reaped that and more before they got up out of here. And I was in awe that people could mistreat old people so badly, but they were. They were so mistreated and done so poorly. And it was just like really watching someone drown and you're trying to throw them a life jacket and they just can't reach it. That's literally how helpless some people who were trying to softly intervene felt. And so that's why I walk very carefully in this life, and I try to treat people like I want to be treated. And if you disagree with me, I can take a soft critique, because I realize if you come to me, even though we may be in disagreement, we can agree to disagree if we can't come to an agreement. But at the same time, I'm wiser from every critique because, first of all, I learned the spirit in which the person who brought the critique to me has, so I know more about them. But at the same time, if it's something that I can digest and realize that, you know, they may be right, maybe I can adjust this or adjust that. And it makes me better at what I do. But when you're in a position in which anyone critiquing you is thought to be the enemy, you lack wisdom. You do. Yeah, you lack wisdom. Yeah. Yeah. Because in my opinion, I can take a critique from an enemy. I can because, first of all, I know who they are when they come to me with it. And so based on the critique, I can see how well they listened or how well they observed. And if it's some truth to it, I got to own it. That's what a mature person, they own it. And if they got me wrong, then I'll say, well, you know, the spirit in which they came to me with that was some hating stuff going on, you know, or they just jealous, you know. But I always take the time to at least listen because I have the enough time under my belt to realize I don't know it all. I'm not the smartest person I know. And so I'm always in a posture of trying to learn because I feel like if I stay in the same spot 5 years from now, then I have not gained any wisdom. Wisdom allows me to take in and as someone used to say, when eating a piece of chicken, you eat the meat and spit out the bones. So when somebody comes to me with a critique, I can apply that same energy. I take in the meat and I spit out the bones because, you know, if it ain't for me, even though they may think it is, I'm going to spit it out. But at the same time, if it's the meat that I can chew on and realize that I can be a better person, I can be a better talk show host, I can be a better friend, I can take it. Any of my friends, Donnell can tell you, Adrian, I will give you a hard critique in a minute.
It's for the best, though.
Sometimes I listen, sometimes I'm hard-headed. Right. You were right. Because you know what? That's what I want from people who call themselves my friends. If you see me doing something, you know, it's out of character, I want somebody to say, Carrie, what are you doing? You know, I mean, what are you thinking? Now, I said the words tonight, though.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I said the words tonight. I probably shouldn't have cussed tonight, but you know what? When I got to thinking about that certain person I was talking about at the time, it just came out. But is that typically me? No. On this show, I typically treat this show like I'm talking to my mama. I don't use curse words. But
Karen, you also even told me to kind of flat back on cursing certain people out. You even told me that.
You just told Donnell that this week, and here I am cussing. But it's not character. It's not characteristic of me, and I probably won't.
I want people. Karen, I don't want. Don't people shouldn't confuse the cursing with the message. You know what I'm saying? Profanity with the message. Don't get caught up in the profanity. People shouldn't get caught up in the person's. How they express them. How they expressing themselves. Just make sure the message. If the message is something that's about something, then that's what you need to focus on. The profanity.
That's
small. Profanity is small. Yeah.
He is right. I think the people may or may not understand. When you are somebody who's courageous enough to speak out in Fort Worth, I'm gonna tell y'all I had a conversation with, and I'm gonna call his name tonight, I didn't before, with Bishop Kirkland. Someone I respect, someone who's considered a leader in this community. The little over hour conversation I had with him shook me to my core. The man was talking to me and saying things like, how afraid he was of the Fort Worth Police Department. He said how when he comes to this city, he gets out of here before dark because he's afraid of this police department. And I'm thinking, this is a grown man, and he's a black man, and he's afraid of this police department and what they may or may not do to him.
Wow.
That blows me away because I'm trying to process, here I am being outspoken, and I'm a female, and this is a black male telling me how he gets out of this city before dusk because he's afraid that, that they may do something slick with him or pull him over. And I'm, is that, who's got the noise in the background? Is that you, Donna?
That was me. That was wind. I was picking up wind. That's me. I'm using my phone. That's wind.
Okay. So when he said that, I was blown away.
Wow.
That he was letting me know how bad it can be, you know, and how they will do. And so, yo, we ain't making this up about this police department. They've done some ruthless stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Yo, listen, only thing they haven't done was put me in jail. But every way they could to try to make my life a living hell, they have done that. And it's well documented. And listen, y'all, when you complain to the city, who knows what they're doing? Do you think I'm the only somebody that's ever complained about this police department? They try to make everybody, wait. They try to make everybody out to be crazy. Y'all, what sounds crazy is what we got in leadership. What sounds crazy is what we got on the police department. Because if y'all think it's okay to weaponize people with guns and rifles and badges against the people, that's crazy. That's the definition of insanity. That's the definition of what Hitler did to the Jews. That's COINTELPRO. I mean, right here, alive and well in Fort Worth, Texas in 2023. This should not be happening. If I had done or committed a crime, then listen, you have every right to do that. But I'm not someone who's committed a crime. I'm not someone who's involved in criminal activity or dealing with anyone involved in criminal activity. So for the leadership to use the police department as private security and to weaponize them against law-abiding citizens, that's Hitler kind of stuff. That's, that's like stuff that happened in 1934 in Germany. But anyway, we're putting it on record tonight because we're calling out the mayor, we're calling out the police chief, we're calling out the city council, and we're calling out David Cook. That if anything happens to us, this whole city ought to know that the call may have come from downtown. And I'm putting that on record, and I say it because I've seen how you guys turn your head when this police department does bad stuff. Y'all turn your head and act like when people come down there and tell y'all right in front of, like, the entire city, the city manager, the mayor, the council, y'all, the police department are doing this and doing that to me, and y'all turn y'all's head. Y'all, something sick about that. And then when y'all take that same police department, which y'all know are capable of killing people, which y'all know are capable of brutalizing people, which are capable of basically spying on people and doing all manner of things to mess with people's credit, to make people lose their jobs, call CPS on people, the whole nine yards, and y'all pretend y'all don't know y'all's police department is doing that. It's something sick about that. And I'm going on record, and I'm calling you out tonight. And if it continues, next week I'm filing my paperwork to file a lawsuit. Because you know what? I've dealt with this far too long. And it looks like it's trying to get worse again. I mean, it died down just a little bit, never did end. But looks like on the Maddie Parker, it's picking back up. Well, Maddie Parker, put you notice. God going to deal with you, lady. He going to deal with you. You are one of the meanest people I've ever met in my life. And I only met you from sitting up on the dais. I've never met you personally. But you're one of the meanest people. You're detached. You're cold. You move in a way that I can't even imagine that your father could be a preacher. I mean, I don't know, y'all. Maddie got to be lying on this one. I can't believe Maddie's got a father as a preacher. I just don't. The way she does people, I mean, does her father not critique anything that he sees? I can't believe her father's a preacher. No. I've seen preacher kids be considered to be bad people before, but not like this. Mm.
Yep.
Mm. I mean, am I wrong, y'all?
No, you're right. I agree with you on that.
Hey, Carrie, you got to realize this too. Even some preachers live double lives. And what I mean by that is, mm-hmm. he could have been a preacher in a pulpit. But the thing about it is, what were the teachings he was? What kind of teachings was he teaching at home? You know, you're one way before the people, but in your household, you're another way. So, again, back to a lot of her about a lot of how she is as an individual. She probably missed the sermons and maintain all of the other stuff that helps her to feel like she's important in society, you know what I'm saying? Which in reality your spiritual life is more important than you. Which, you know, what you do in your physical, yeah, it's important, you know, as it relates. Hold on one sec, I'm sorry, hold on one sec.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne is a kid.
I agree with you.
So but hold on one sec, I'm sorry, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But again, so
but
what kind of message? Go ahead, Carrie. Go ahead, Carrie.
No. I thought you were taking a pause. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, just he might have been a preacher in a pulpit, but what was he teaching at home? You know what I'm saying? She probably holding on more or less to that than it is. That's probably what's falsely helping her to get through society, that upbringing, that Heiko, Texas upbringing, you know, that we come to find out has a racist overtone, you know.
Mm. One thing I do know, y'all, and I'm gonna leave this right here. I've never seen it where God doesn't know how to get you where it's your sore spot. You know what I'm saying? You know how you take a jab at somebody and you might get a chance to knock them out. But God knows where your sore spot is, and he has a way of it getting you right there. So while y'all are taking all y'all jabs at Donnell and Adrian and me and trying to make our life hard, remember, when you go home at night, God knows where your sore spot is.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no doubt that's exactly where he's going to hit y'all at. So enjoy yourselves. If this is how y'all get off and think it's okay to manipulate what your job description is to harass and spy on and, you know, do all your little dirty stuff behind the scenes, God sees all your dirt. And he knows your sore spot. And just when you least expect it, he'll hit you here and take the wind out of you. He has the ability to do it just like that. And so I'm going to leave it right there tonight, y'all, because I feel that. I feel that in my knower that God going to deal with them. And so, y'all, you know what? I don't know why lately when I've been praying on the air, God has been moving. So I'm going to pray on this situation. I'm going to pray on this situation tonight, and I want Donnell and Adrian to come into agreement with me. So, Father God, we come to you as humbly as we know tonight, and we ask you to intervene in this situation. God, we ask you to look on the leadership downtown, from the council to the city manager to the mayor, and God, even our police chief. We ask, God, every police officer involved, that God, you deal with them and you deal with them swiftly. God, your word says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so, God, today, we ask that you find their sore spot. Since, God, they're coming for our jugular. They're trying to strangle our livelihood. They're trying to cripple our movement in this city. They have weaponized the police department against us. So, God, we ask that you weaponize our angels against them. And, God, we ask that our angels go to battle for us. God, because we know greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And God, we know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask or think. So we call on heaven tonight, and we ask for heaven to go to battle for us, for our angels to go to war for us. We dispatch angels from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and we ask them to submerge on City Hall, to walk those halls, uncovering, exposing, and revealing everything that needs to be known. God, every form of corruption, every lie, and every form of deception that has come out of City Hall since this administration has taken place, God, we ask you to move and move quickly. God, we will not fear because we know that you have not given us the spirit of fear. But God, we will walk bold as lions because, God, we know that our assignment on this earth was predestined before we ever made it here. And God, we will not cower down even in the sight of what we have before us. We know, God, that you can do anything but fail, and you operate in the world of impossibility. So God, what's impossible to us is not impossible to you. So God, we ask that you deal with the leadership. We ask that you deal with our city manager. We ask that you deal with our council person and our mayor, even down to our city attorney. God, all of those that are involved in things that they should not be involved with, trying to hurt the people, the law-abiding citizens of this city, God, we ask that you deal with them. God, we take it off of us today and we give it to you. For the battle is not even ours, but it's yours. And God, we're trusting and believing that you're not a man that you should lie. But you said you'd be still, that you would fight our battles. So God, we're trusting and believing that heaven is going to war against anything that's coming against us. So God, we won't cower down. We won't fear. But we're trusting and believing that you are going to come and see about us. So, God, we seal this prayer today as a prayer of agreement. But you said wherever two or three are in together, where two or three come together in your word, I mean, in your name, God, it shall be done. So we're trusting and believing, God, that these two or three that are gathered together and calling on heaven to move.
Yes, Lord.
We're calling on movement, immediate movement in this situation. God, we declare and decree that if Maddie Parker can't abide by the rules of this city before she got here, that God, maybe she needs to move. God, if the city council can't abide by the rules that were set in place before they got there, then God, maybe they need to move. God, if the city manager is not going to come in and do what he's supposed to do, then God, maybe he needs to be moved. And God, by whatever means necessary, because it's gotten to that degree, whatever means necessary, God, that you have to clean house so you get a group of people up there that are going to treat the people right, God, we ask that you move on our behalf. God, I ask that tonight. I declare and decree that God is going to move on this situation and he's going to move quickly. God, I trust and believe you. And know that you have never failed me. And I don't believe you're going to fail us now. So, God, we believe tonight. We believe tonight, God, that the God that we serve is greater than anything that comes against us. So, God, we pray tonight that you begin to move on City Hall even before they get in there tomorrow morning. God, we thank you. We trust you. We honor you. We praise you. And we lift up your name. Father, we thank you. Amen. I consider it done, y'all. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's going to be some movement. You cannot harass the children of God and not get the rest of God to fall on you. You can't. You can't.
Amen.
I mean, I feel that thing. You cannot continue to come against the children of God without cause. You don't do that. I mean, you don't do that. Never in the Bible have you seen. I don't know if y'all know the Red Sea story, but God drowned them all. He drowned them all. He allowed the children of Israel to cross over and then drown all that was coming behind to them. That's the kind of God we serve.
Yeah.
And so when you're pursuing the children of God, it's a wrath that comes with that. And these people have weaponized the whole police department as though we're criminals. Now they're just saying
Terry, real quick. I know, you know, I believe in not coming behind prayer, you know. You know, once prayer I've learned that. But two things I want to say. One thing about, I think about your, if a standard, how God said he'll hold up a standard against the enemy. So I thought about this. You've been doing this as long as you've been doing it. You already went through what you went through when you went through it. And the most I saw that you was willing to continue through it. He put that standard up for you. Donnie B been doing what he's been doing is for long as he's been as far as people know forward, they know Donnie B. Donnie B being consistent in what he's been doing for years and years and years, whether it be media or what he's doing now with UMJ, you know, the standard. The Most High holds up a standard. So, and I say this last part is, if you're trying to live right and try to do righteous and trying to, if you're about people just doing right, trying to, all you can let your light shine. Guess what? The Most High, this is how I live. He don't let nothing come up on you without warning you. He don't let nothing come up on you without warning you. And then, like you, another thing you stated about the importance of putting people around you to like as a form of protection. You know how angels are, they protect you in a spirit sense, but in the natural sense, he put people around you to provide that same type of protection. So that's all I want to add to it.
Well, no, I'm in total agreement with that. But see, y'all don't realize, I'd rather somebody pray for me than pray on me. I'd rather somebody pray for me than pray on me, because you know what? I don't ever want folks to feel like they, and when I say that, I don't mean in a way of anything like the New Orleans thing, because I'm not with that. Whatever Reggie on with that, God gonna deal with you too, Mr. Reggie Garner. But I'd rather people pray for me than pray on me. And y'all, we have to pray on them because guess what? We've done everything we could humanly.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? And even though we're law-abiding, operating like we're supposed to, they're going to weaponize the police department. They feel like it's okay to do that. No, God needs to step in. Because I done found out when you get to the point that you've done all you could humanly do, that's when you step aside and you let God take over. And so we're calling on God to take over. We're calling on our angels to take over because we have found ourselves in a situation in which the mayor would rather weaponize the police department against us because we speak out against what's going on rather than Donnell was called for a meeting with them. I'm not asking for a meeting, but Donnell was called for a meeting. Sit down with Donnell, mayor. Talk about what problems you have with United My Justice or Donnell or any of the people in there, but you don't weaponize your police department to come against them and throw them out of City Hall and throw them off the premises. No. So that kind of thing is just all of these changes, every time you get mad at somebody, you're just, you know, doing the most. God has to deal with you at some point, and that's what we're just asking tonight. That God intervenes. Yeah. So he does the battle so we don't, like they using all these gatekeepers so that they don't have to get their hands dirty. We're calling on heaven to do the things that we don't want to do. We're calling on heaven so we don't get ourselves in trouble. We're calling on heaven to take care of the enemy so that we don't have to get ourselves in trouble for that. But, y'all, we got to get out of here tonight. We're going to be back tomorrow.
Karen, can I do a quick shout-out? Karen, can I do a quick shout-out? I'm gonna shout out to Kev Taylor. He's listening to us right now. He's really enjoying the show. And a couple other people that are tuning in to the show. What's up, Nikki? Tuning in to the program. They said they are really enjoying the show, a very hot topic.
Wow. Y'all, you know what? It wasn't even planned, y'all, because typically we only come on once a week. But we realized that we're finding ourselves at war. And you know, we ain't got no artillery. Or is that what they call it, artillery, y'all? We got no weapons. Yeah, we David's going up against Goliath. And we have to call the man tonight.
Kev Taylor said he'll set that meeting up with United My Justice with me and Nikki. I just got the word. He'll set that meeting up with the mayor.
Let's do that. That's good. Thank you, Kia. Y'all have a good time. Good. Somebody needs to do it. Because, y'all, the thing is, we are out here as David was going against Goliath. We ain't got no armor on. You know what I'm saying? We don't have no armor. We ain't got no AK-47s or no bullets or no ammunition, but yet we're finding ourselves being put in front of people who have all the access to all of our life. You know what I'm saying? They got the guns, they got the weapons, they got the badges, and they have weaponized these people against us. So tonight we decided we were going to speak out and let the city know that this is wrong, and that, that the mayor is wrong, the city manager is wrong, the city council is wrong for allowing it to happen. So y'all, we're calling it out tonight, but we got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow night from 7 to 9 p.m. But we ask that you all come into agreement with the prayer as well. If you're in the listening audience tonight, pray with us that God exposes, reveals, and uncovers what's going on downtown and brings a stop to the weaponization of the police department against law-abiding citizens like activists and talk show hosts and protesters. That's not right. It's just not right. And tonight we just decided to speak on it. So y'all listen until tomorrow night from 7 to 9 p.m. We'll see you then. Good night.